Good morning, Patriots. It is a coffee morning. Like every morning. Holy cow. There I go again. I was teasing myself, and I'm going to work on it today. We're going to reduce the use of holy cow today. That'll be my commitment. It's become a habit. I hate when I get into word habits, and it does happen to everyone. You're talking, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Did I just like say that again? I did. So we're going to drop the cow for a while. We'll see how that goes. Accountability. You've heard me say it. I truly believe it, that we are in an age of accountability. Much less than, or much more than, not less, but much more than the awakening. Because as we awaken, there is a total awareness of what we were part of and what we have to become, holding ourselves accountable to a much higher standard. Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. The world that we're leaving is literally just a coarse and careless world designed specifically to create conflict with God. Everything about it is specifically designed so that we degrade God, we degrade our relationship with Him, we degrade our own responsibilities in this world, and we do so in such constant and perpetual ways. From the extremes to the subtle, it is a perpetual spiral. And in the end, when we really look back on it, and I do spend time looking at where even I was, I'll just say my personal journey of where I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, today, and it's a good reflection to make. And we kind of look over the course of our lives, where we are today in this awareness and awakening. No matter who you are, I would hope that your station has shifted to such a degree in life that you are able to look back and be honest to realize how deceived we were on so many levels. And it doesn't mean that there isn't truth within that, but it definitely means that there's a tremendous amount of lessons within that, which also means that in this time we have an accountability to God and to ourselves in a much higher level. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we go forward here, the one thing, I mean, life is either a forward motion or it's literally a motion off a cliff. I think there's probably forward motion when you fall off a cliff too. I just don't prefer to go that way. It kind of ends in a bad ending. We're in a very vicious fight on a global level, and the fight is visually centered around finances and economic influencers and information. And of course, there's a back end fight to that, which is kind of the covert fight, which we don't see. And we add to that covert fight things like cyber and space and subterranean and other domains of warfare. But don't kid yourself, when you look at the end goal of that dark side, its fight is for your soul. It's not playing games. And so, in a time when we need strong vocalization of God's intent, strong vocalization of God's power and movement in the world, those lines that God is not going to let us cross or doesn't want us to cross. Strong vocalization of standing with God in this walk, of giving ourselves to Him, trusting in Him, and becoming stronger in the process. Strong vocalization of the evils and ills that are in this world. We sadly are getting too much of the compromise, acquiescence to government tyranny, and the things that Christ would definitely be flipping tables over. One of the places where we can affect the greatest change in that process is to strengthening our own temple. And our own temple is the temple within us. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is a time when God is leading us, guiding us, and working through us with the body temple that lives within us. And so if we aren't taking care of that part of this fight and always racing outwards, we're not building up our base strength. And some of this is very, very visceral for us on a daily basis. It deals with mental and physical habits, mental and physical welfare. We have to strengthen that core of who we are. And it means things like taking time each day to find time to exercise, taking time to break some of the wicked habits that this society puts upon us. If that's a drug addiction, or if that's an alcohol addiction, or an addiction to porn, or whatever that is that a person has. It isn't a point of judgment, and it's not a point of guilt. I think those are two key negatives that need to be taken off the table. It's a point of just being honest with yourself. And I think when we come to those places and we're just honest with ourselves about, this is my crutch, this is my vice, and we turn that over to God, we're going to work through it, and God's going to work through it with you. But it's time to clean ourselves, to cleanse ourselves in that way, because spiritual cleansing is also part of physical cleansing and righting that strength. You can't be strong when in the back of your mind you're lurking on having some crutch that's keeping you away. You know, there's, you see this too. I mean, it's people that are, I'm not picking on anybody, so just be clear, I'm going to go to Afghanistan, but I'm going to make a point. When soldiers are on deployment and you get downrange, let me tell you, it's very often very difficult for them to get tobacco products, be it chew or be it cigarettes. And it becomes a really difficult place because the mission's dependent upon clear mind, clear thoughts, and that's a nagging anchor that's pulling them back. They work through it, but it doesn't mean it's easy. And I'm not sure the outcomes are always as they should be either. We can't have the anchors holding us down. Not in this time. And we have to be able to free ourselves from those things that are holding us here, that are anchoring us to, it's a spiritual anchor. It's anchoring us to an old way, if you will. And I keep referring to the old way, which is the system that is collapsing. And that system has thrown in so many hooks. And I mentioned this friend I had. I just consider him just to be such an awake, in a good way, by the way, such an alert and beautiful spiritual mind of, who's he's since passed. And he truly was a beautiful soul. And he was a shaman. Man, did he study? I mean, his knowledge of faith and so forth was profound, because that's all he did was just study that. But he had he called himself an urban shaman, which was interesting, because he considered himself, his way of walking, which is how do we deal with freeing ourselves from the anchors of the world as we live in an urban society, which is a really interesting thought when you think about it, because we have so many dependencies that we seem to have in an urban world. It's hard to have a garden. It's hard to be free of debt. It's hard to be free of the dependent systems, be it power or water or whatever that is, when you're in an urban environment. And so much of what he spent his life on was a place of freeing spiritually that sort of hooks. And he would use that term hooks, and I use it to this very day. Because the hooks that he would see were spiritual hooks. And they were far more dangerous than the physical hooks, but the physical hooks were a manifestation of the spiritual hooks. And so I want to leave you with this, and this is by no means any sort of this woo-woo science of spirituality. It's just, I think, in a very important perspective to consider this. That in an age of accountability, which we are in, which God is moving in, and which God is here to have his children stand. If we look at the sorts of vices that we're being trapped by, whatever those are, and I will guarantee you every single person has something. We look at those sort of vices and we step back and ask ourselves just some fundamental questions. What's driving that hook? What's causing us to be hooked into something? And it's not going to be the physical. And that's what this world that we're witnessing in does all the time. It's like, oh, well, you're hooked on this because of this chemical dependency or this. Sure, that's an outcome. But the core reason it's happening is deep. It's within us. And it's a spiritual void that we're trying to fill with something. And that something is what we manifest into the physical world. We have to get to the inner part of our temple. We have to get inside there with God, and we've got to clean it out. And we need to release ourselves from that. It isn't that you can't do certain things. And when I say this, it's like I'm not, no way am I doing this old Southern Baptist thing. You drink a sip of the fire water, you're going to hell. I'm not doing that. All right. Because life is a balance of reason and it's control. What we're talking about here is not having something control you and being free of that. Some people, that hook is news. An absolute obsession with having to know news every second of the day. Some people, that hook is fear, because they can't live in a world where they can't manifest fears and feel safe. And I watch, because it's there. Fear is a big one. And people will do it. And the way they will do it is they'll put it out there. And like, this is where we're going. Yes, but, and there that but comes in, and here comes all these fears flooding in. So when we start to free ourselves of those hooks and realize what's within us that's causing that, most of the time, I'll tell you, fear is a powerful one, because most everything driven by those hooks is fear at one way or another. It's what drives us. Maybe it's fear of loneliness. Maybe it's fear of having to face something we did or experienced in our youth. That's this time of accountability. And God is here. This is the beautiful part about it, is God's here to work through that with us. It isn't like you're out here on your own. And as we walk together in this, and when God's walking with us, it's a time to get into the temple. Imagine this. Maybe I'm a little weird. Probably. But I'll tell you what I'm not. I'm not a lizard head, so that's good. Anyway, I digress. A little bit of our daily lizard humor. Oh, it's just a gecko. Don't worry. Okay, got it. Anyway, I try to imagine my own temple in a place where, as if Christ walked into my temple, like he walked into the temple of the Pharisees. And he's looking around inside my temple, and he's looking at the sort of things that are going on. And I'm asking myself, what is it that he'll call out? And what tables will he flip? And that's the strength, because when I know and I can find those and I know where to dig in. You know, there's this one thing about one of the wretched aspects of modern psychology, and I hate it. I truly am not a fan of any of the modern psychology or psychology, like you need a psychologist, because I hate this, because God's given us the tools and the strength to work with him to deal with our problems. We just have to be honest with ourselves. But one of the things that modern psychology likes to do is, like, you solve one problem and they're like, well, yeah, but you got 15 others behind it. This is not what we're talking about here, okay? What we're talking about is getting inside of ourselves to strengthen that foundation of who we are. And in that process of strengthening it, we're identifying those things that are holding us back, anchoring us down, and preventing us from moving forward in this age of accountability to be free of the burdens, the guilts, and the crutches that prevent us from being our full potential with God. And that is such a powerful place to be. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Whom you have from God, are you not your own? For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And that right there is where we're at, is that we have to be able to glorify God in all that we are in this body. It's not something to take lightly. It's a creation of perfection, which means it also requires maintenance, and it requires due diligence, and it requires at times to have to go through and, in a metaphorical sense, do a remodel. It's the body and the mind. It's the healthy body for healthy spirit. So as we undo these things that are grabbing hold of us, whether they're spiritual hooks or physical hooks, it is our duty in this time, in all times, to do so, to free ourselves, to be totally free within the realm of God. I am not one. You'll never hear me say this. Well, I won't say never. I might. But I sure as heck don't proclaim this place where this kind of old school, we're all sinners, and if you don't accept that you're a sinner, you aren't going anywhere. I don't buy that pathway. It's not that we aren't, because we're all full of it. In the end of the day, God's probably laughing at us going, man, you guys, holy cow, you got a long ways to go. But if we're going to start with this place of guilt, we're not getting anywhere, because guilt leads to more guilt. Guilt is a repressive approach. And that sort of old kind of pulpit type condemnation is not helping anybody. Where we are is looking at who we are, our limitations, and we have flaws. But the opportunities are always before us to improve and to walk into this place where God can embrace us and elevate us to such an amazing degree. He's not there to condemn us. And if you have to be condemned to be humbled before him, there's a problem right there. Okay, because that's just like, well, you have to feel guilty in order to love God. I don't feel guilty for loving God. And I sure as heck am humbled before him with his magnificence and his incredible power in this world. But where I am is a place of honesty in trying to, and it's not like, oh, I'm all done. Last week, let's see, I got through this little challenge and this little, okay, hey God, I'm done, we're ready. It's an ongoing life process. And it's just a deep reflection within ourselves to look within our temple and say, okay, God, here's where I'm at. And if we have the bigger vices, and if those are the things that are catching us, and we're spending our time trying to work ourselves through challenges, and people have them, especially right now, and this is why I bring this up, because especially in right now with this, the economic environment, the political environment, and of course, let's not forget the one thing that they wanted to make sure that everybody had access to. You can't go to church, but you can sure as heck go buy your bottle of booze. And I'm sure they, if you're in Oregon, they wanted to make sure that you could even buy hard drugs, including heroin, LSD. They don't want you to, they made that legal. Everything about that process was done and is intended to do to break and ruin your soul and your spirit. So this is what I know. I know that when I speak these things, I speak them with honesty, integrity, and I speak them firmly as if I'm speaking to God himself. It doesn't say in the book ever that you have to be guilty or you can't drink this or can't do that. But what I do know that throughout the Bible, without even questioning, is there's a basis of reasonableness in all things. And if you're going to walk around, because nowhere in Christ's walk was there a place where he said, be guilty. I want to remind you who he hung out with. The prostitutes and the tax collectors. And I'm convinced that he did so because they were the ones that really understood the darkness of the world. Because everyone else is walking around with their version of spiritual face masks on, acting like they knew what they were doing, and they had not touched the darkness of the world to understand how dark it really was. And it's only when you get into the darkness of things do you understand, deeply reflect upon yourself, how dark we can be. Guilt is the tool of control, and it's not a positive control. Humbling yourself is positive. And if we are going to really get into the strength of who we are, we have to get past our guilts. We have to get into our personal temple. We have to clean that out. We have to free ourselves. And at that point, are we able to step into the body of Christ and live fully as intended, which is our pathway to God. This is a walk that every single person, in one way or another, if we're taking this step, has to make. And when you put yourself before God and you're going to be truthful to who you are, you'll be on your knees. Every one of us will be, and we know it. In the church format, there is always this process, which is it's an important process of repenting before Christ. But I'm going to tell you why it disgusts me, why that whole statement comes up. Because those that do it too often think that a one-time shot is it, and they can walk away and not be accountable for the rest of their life. There's a trick in the mind that goes on. Wow, and I can't tell you how many times I encounter this. I've repented. It doesn't matter. I'm not accountable anymore for what I do in this world. That's an absolute lie. If you're going to be honest with yourself, it is a daily walk of humbling yourself before God, of opening your heart up to see truly what's within inside. And in doing so, opening up your temple to clean out those hooks and spiritual anchors that are keeping you back. And one of the most important parts about that is keeping our body strong, away from the vices and things that hold us back. And in doing so, strengthening ourselves in the world. And like I said, those are simple little things. In all this discussion, it comes back to something pretty fundamental. Sleep, exercise, eat well, live clean. And when we do those things, and if we're really honest about those things, because those things in this world, we have to make an intention to do them. Because we live in a world these days that is so cushioned. But if we don't make the intention to do those things, we're not strengthening the foundation on which we are. We're not strengthening the foundation of that temple. And we're not being honest to God as we stand before Him. The age of accountability. Each of us is accountable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come before you, to humble ourselves before you, to open our hearts to you, to let you within, to show us within our own temple that sits within us, those places where we're being held back by the many hooks that come in this walk in life. Let us be truthful before you, honest before you, of the details of those things of what they are, to work with you, to empty out those things within the temple, within us, to free us truly from this old world to walk into the new. Clarity, Lord, as we know, as we all know, is a difficult thing. We like to paint over our own responsibilities and accountabilities with big flowing words and obscure the details of the things that are often most painful. If we're truly going to repent before you, then let us repent with detail, to face in honesty what those specific things are, to unhook us, to release us. Let us face truly our accountability to maintaining this temple as you intended in the holy perfection that you gave it to us. And let us take accountability and responsibility in this day to strengthen that temple before you. To be truly the disciples that you intended us to be in this walk that's ahead. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. There's a lot of conditioning and framing that we are all going to have to look at very deeply, depending on how you grew up in faith and how you grew up in the church. there is a very, and I'll use the term, there's a strong arrogance that comes about by many that have grown up in the church to say things, and you'll run into it. You don't understand this in the Bible. You don't understand what God intended. I'm going to tell you something. God speaks to everybody very clearly if you listen. And the Bible is not one thing. It has deep, deep meaning across time. As I've said before, you read the Bible reads you. And part of that experience in the end of the day is fundamental in one law, which is love thy neighbor as you love thyself. Those that speak words like you don't understand, you misunderstand, as if they are righteous in the understanding of the Bible, have shut their own life off from the understanding that God's giving them. Guiding and elevating those moving forward is part of our goal. But none of us speak for God, unless you're a prophet, and then I step back because I'm not one. But what's most important is that honesty sits at the middle of all things, and accountability is centered to all things. And when we put those two things before God, you don't have to worry. Any of your masks that you've put on to hide yourself and hide from yourself will be stripped aside. And God will show you exactly where you are in this world. And sometimes that look is pretty rough. But here's the great thing, is you're not alone, because God's not going to do that and leave you hanging. God will elevate up, raise us, and rebuild us. He did not sacrifice his only son to waste the effort on us and walk away. In the end, we're all flawed. We know that. But that's the glory that God gave to us, is that through that imperfection, he's building perfection in the world. And that's us. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. We're here in this time, in this place for a reason. We have to press into this fight. We have to strengthen our inner temple to be strong. Like any good warrior, you have to take care of yourself in order to be strong in the world. Spend some time. Reflect deeply on that path. Pray. Let God hear you. Let him see within you, truly. And in doing so, be bold. Make the changes that need to be made. Free yourselves from the hooks and anchors. Find the ways to strengthen your temple and in the full strength of the body and the mind. And step into this fight, because God's going to win this. But I guarantee you, he wants us all with him when he does. Have a blessed day. I will see you all in about 30 minutes or so for Federalist Paper number 31. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
In the night we were wild, we were golden. Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going.
taste of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers, what the night knows. There's a revolution rising in the shadows.